and everything else that is just repetitive, tedious stuff, if that's on a piece of paper or a spreadsheet on your computer or wherever, you don't have to think about that. You just go through it. It's quick. It's easy. You don't make mistakes, and you can focus on what's really important.
This is the Self-Recording Band Podcast, the show where we help you make exciting records on your own, wherever you are, DIY style. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the Self-Recording Band Podcast. I am your host, Benedict Hein, and I am here with my co-host, Malcolm Owen Flood from stonemastering.com. How are you, Malcolm?
I'm great, man. Just got back from a trip to Toronto and then a little quick family getaway to a family cabin. And then now I'm sunburnt. Just like so amazingly sunburnt.
It's like every time I ask you this, it feels like every other time like we get to talk, you've been on vacation or on a weekend trip or you have like sunburn or like weird tan lines on your feet or whatever. Like it's a constant vacation.
I mean, some of those are work trips, but they're still kind of exotic. So yeah. I got pretty good. No complaints.
Yeah. So traveling has started again for you with the film audio stuff.
Yes, it's a little reined back. Like it's Canada only right now. So I don't see us getting out of the country for a while. And then even then, there's some places that you can't really go. And yeah, you have to be really careful. We're kind of always watching to see what's going to happen. You know, if things get bad again, they might close down the flights again. Who knows? So
yeah,
got to be careful. But it was nice getting over to Toronto. I've got a close friend over there, and then the drummers we were working with were just amazing as well. So it was really, really fun.
Super cool. So how has this whole thing delayed like the release? Yes. And plan and everything of that movie at all? Because like it's been in the works for a while, right?
Yeah. I think originally season one deadline was meant to be in June. Okay. Which now we're recording this in the middle of July. So we're probably 6 months behind or something. That's not really my department at all. They just tell me where I need to be to get audio done. But I think we're a little behind. But you know, everybody's behind. Everybody's 6 months behind because of this thing. So
yeah, we basically skipped half a year altogether. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I'm like a couple of months behind as well with the Academy, because I was supposed to launch already and I haven't, because of the same reasons, like COVID totally screwed up everything that I had planned. But I'm on the, like, close to the finish line on the home stretch. Everything's been filmed and like there's some final editing to be done, and then I can finally launch that thing. And if you're not on the waiting list, do it. Sign up. If you go to the selfrecordingband.com/academy waiting list, you can sign up for that and you'll be the first to know when the Academy launches. And there will be some special things for you if you are on that list. So it's just a matter of weeks, I think, and then we're good to go.
That is so exciting.
Yeah, that's like, I can't wait. It's the first time I've done something like this. I've already told you, like, I've never been that exhausted. I think it's been the most exhausting year that I've had so far in my career, because I mixed a ton of records and did that Academy thing right on the side. But I can't wait to start with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, that was really the core. Like that, your course is the main thing that started this podcast. And I just looked, we recorded our first episode in January, the 13th of January was when we first started recording for this podcast. So it's been a long time coming. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. The Self-Recording Band, the whole thing is like, I've been doing it for about a year and a half now. Yeah, and the podcast since January. And it's about time. But But it's great. And as we've already said, what's also great is that you, the people who are listening, are actually pretty, it seems you like the podcast and you implement stuff that we talk about, which is great, because we get emails and DMs and like we hear people talk about their productions and implementing things that they've learned from the podcast. And that is such a cool thing to hear. So thank you for listening. And
it's amazing. I got a track to mix from a fellow, Seth, over in Ontario. Shout out to you, buddy. And drums are edited. Bass is just killer. He nailed it. He just applied everything. It was wicked. And I've done tracks for him in the past, and it just gets better every single time. So super stoked on that.
That's the coolest thing. That's the best thing that can happen with this podcast. And yeah, keep sending us messages and emails and everything. We love to see that stuff.
Definitely.
All right. So we are talking about a topic here that actually helps you prevent like missing deadlines and being late with your projects, because we're talking about productivity and things that can speed up your workflow and also things that can help you focus more on the creative side of things. Because like templates and checklists, which are the things we're going to talk about in this episode, sound like something like uncreative, but these workflow things are actually the things that help you focus on the creative stuff more, because you don't have to think about the tedious, uncreative stuff. So we're going to talk about templates, checklists, and other things that you can do to 10x your productivity and creativity. And we're going to go through three main benefits of checklists and templates. And we're going to give you examples of how to implement that and how we implement it in our studios and audio businesses and day-to-day workflows. And I think this is one of those episodes that is not like an obvious topic for such a podcast, but a super important one. And I can't wait to dive into this.
Yeah, this is the perfect episode for us to be recording today, because with me just going to Toronto for the first film trip in quite a while last week, what was my normal thing where I'm like, just, I know what to do because I've done it day in, day out, was all of a sudden like, okay, what do I need to bring? What do I need to pack to go on a trip? And then what do I need to make sure I do at the start of every session to make sure I don't screw up? And when you screw up on film, it's like you screw up everybody's day. So you can't screw up. Yeah. So luckily, I had the foresight in the past to make checklists for all these things. I literally have a packing checklist. I have like a gear checklist. And then I have a little setup checklist. And I just went through that every single day because it wasn't something I'd done recently. So I did need to refresh myself and make sure I formatted the SD card, you know, make sure I did sync up to the cameras and get hops going and all this stuff, you know, stuff that would have been harder to remember. And because I had these checklists, I didn't have to remember. It was just there for me and I couldn't screw it up.
Yeah, so true. Like, does your fiance ever think you're crazy because you're using checklists for obvious things? Because my wife surely does. Like, I have a packing checklist as well for like when I go to the studio every morning, because my studio is not at home, so I have to go there. And I have a packing checklist, and like it seems crazy if you have something like that, because I've been doing this for now like 7 years in the same place here, and it's basically the same items that I have to pack every day. But still, I have this checklist because it still happens if I don't use it that I forget something. Sometimes I forget a dongle, or I forget, I don't know, to bring my tea or whatever I like to have during the day. And then it annoys me if I don't have it here. And like, we're just humans and we are forgetful creatures, and incredibly forgetful actually. And even after years, you forget obvious stuff. So I go through this checklist every morning and I make sure I have everything with me.
Assumption is the enemy for sure. The assumption is the enemy of memory, because you know your dongle, that's the classic one. Yeah. Anybody that's got an eye lock is just like because you know you're used to seeing it in one spot, and that is your studio. And then I need to go on the road, so I head out on tour or with the film crew or whatever it is, and I assume my dongle is where it needs to be, but it's still in the studio. And you know, it's no good. So lists help us not experience these situations. I wrote in our notes here, Benny, have you read the Checklist Manifesto?
Yes, I have. I listened to the audiobook, but to be honest, I didn't make it through the whole thing. I think three quarters of it or something.
Because it was the most boring audiobook in the world, man.
Yes. It's such a... I don't know if you're feeling the same, but it's such a pain to listen to. It's like in the beginning, I found it super interesting. All the stories, the examples they go through, it's like super interesting. But after a while, it just keeps repeating. At least I felt that way. And it's like the basic message of this book could be like condensed to like a couple of minutes or something. And it's just example after example after example, which of course like drives home the whole point. But I was just tired of hearing like medical scenarios and I don't know. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're doing this.
Yeah. I feel like I could like pull off a
synopsis.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm a doctor now after listening to this thing. I could pull up a surgery or something because I've listened to all these examples.
Yeah, it was really dry. It was read really dry, and then also it was like all of the 1,000 examples were from the 2 same industries. So it was kind of like, okay, we get the point. But anyways, you don't have to read or listen to that book because we're having this episode, and it's going to tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Anyways, but if you do want to get even deeper into checklists, you can go check out the Checklist Manifesto.
Absolutely. I'll put it in the show notes because it is a great book, to be fair. Like, maybe if you're not familiar with that concept at all or haven't done much yet, then it's maybe a different story because I already had checklists and I kind of knew about the importance of them. So if you are not in the same spot, like if you haven't used checklists before, then it might be a different thing for you. And if you're especially interested in, like, I don't know, medical topics or aviation or whatever, I don't know that this is especially interesting, but still, like, it's a great book. The whole point is absolutely cool and great, and it's still recommended. So I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, and it's basically about this, about the thing that we have already touched on here, that even like professionals, like highly skilled professionals who perform the same things every day where you would assume that they don't make like simple mistakes, they use checklists because like they make mistakes if they don't. And if you're on a plane, that plane will never ever take off without the pilot and the whole crew going through like a pre-flight checklist. That will never happen. Mm-hmm. Of course, they know how to fly a plane and they've done it hundreds of times before, but still they go through this checklist every single time or else they won't take off. And doctors are the same and other professions as well. It's just when you have a checklist, you don't have to think about things, you don't forget things, and you can focus on the stuff that you actually need to think about. So what's on that checklist doesn't have to be stored in the back of your brain, basically. And when it comes to creative things, like we are talking about, this is especially cool because then you can focus on the music, on the parts, on the performance, on everything like that really matters and that cannot be put onto checklist. And everything else that is just repetitive, tedious stuff, if that's on a piece of paper or a spreadsheet on your computer or wherever, you don't have to think about that. You just go through it. It's quick. It's easy. You don't make mistakes and you can focus on what's really important.
I think there's a misconception that by having checklists, it's less creative. You know, you're using the kind of logical side of your brain to organize the task of being creative. And that can seem like it doesn't mesh, but in fact, you're just freeing yourself up to not have to use brain power on non-creative tasks. And now you can get into being creative quicker, easier, and with less barriers and obstacles in the way. Anybody that's tried to write a song using Pro Tools knows what I'm talking about, because Pro Tools is like just one giant barrier in the way of making music if you don't know how to use it well. And unless somebody's running it for you, it's really like there's just all these little steps you have to get through. And unless you had like a template, which is something we're going to talk about, where all the tracks were already set up, wrote it to the inputs, you know, so I could just plug in a guitar, click one button and start playing, it you're going to be kind of defeated by the time you get to that, by the time you make a track, route it, find a guitar cable, plug it in, you know, pull up an amp sim, scroll through a bunch of tones. You know, by the time you get there, your little window of opportunity and creativity is long gone. So that's the kind of stuff we're talking about today, both creatively and also just ensuring that you don't make mistakes that'll just set you back. You know, we've talked about how defeating it can be to make a mistake and how that can just like kind of shelf a project because you have to start over. And we want to avoid that. For sure.
Yeah.
And one more benefit of checklists is that if you set it up right, it can also ensure that you do things in the right order. Where if you're running by memory, you might just kind of jump around to whatever comes to mind first. But there definitely can be a benefit with the order that things are completed as well.
Hey friend, this is Benedict from the selfrecordingband.com, and if you are producing your own songs, I have a question for you. Do you ever listen to your music and feel like something is just off? Maybe the drums sound weak, or the guitar tone bothers you, maybe the vocals don't really cut through the mix, or the whole thing just doesn't sound finished and professional, but you can't really put your finger on it? I know you want to release big, punchy, professional sounding songs, right? The type of authentic, unique art that connects with your audience on a deep level.
but you're just not sure what's missing with your recordings. Somehow you just can't connect all the dots. And I get it, the amount of things to learn and all the conflicting information out there can be really overwhelming. Especially if you're a lone wolf trying to figure it all out on your own, right? Now here's the good news. Whether you've been self-recording for years, or you're just setting up your first home studio, I want to offer you my personal one-on-one help. As long as you are determined to put in the work, I'm offering a limited amount of free one-on-one coaching calls with me. On this hour-long call, we'll dive deep into your recordings and create a personalized roadmap for you to finally solve the issues you're struggling with so that you can release music that you'll be proud of forever. If you are ready to see and believe that it's actually possible to achieve your goals and make the records you've always wanted to make, then go to theselfrecordingband.com/call and apply for one of my limited coaching spots. I can assure you that making exciting and successful DIY records is very doable. We've done it, lots of other people have done it, you can do it as well. Talk soon, theselfrecordingband.com/call.
Absolutely. And I get that a lot, actually. I have publicly, I think I posted once, and I also sent it out to my email list. Like, I shared some mixing templates that I use, and I like a video where I go through my template. And I got emails from people asking, like, isn't that, like, totally, like, non-creative? And is that, like, doesn't that, isn't that lazy? Is that still mixing? It seems like more of an assembly line type of thing. And, like, you know. But the thing is, once I started, like, this is for mixing now, but it's the same with tracking. The thing is, I'm actually mixing much more creative now, and my mixes got way better and faster at the same time, which is very cool. So it's not lazy, because you put in the work, like before, you have to put in the work. You just make notes and document what you're doing and then put it into a template so that you don't have to do it again, but you have to do the work once. So it's not lazy. It's just a document of what you have done and what you've learned. And then once you have that and you can recall it and use it again as a starting point with all the tedious stuff out of the way, you can actually work more creative, as we've already talked about. So yeah, it seems like it's not as creative, but actually it's more creative and it's faster at the same time, which is super cool. And that's the second benefit here that you get, aside from freeing up like brain power, mental energy for the creative stuff, you will be faster, a lot faster, which is more fun, which is less exhausting, which gives you more time to experiment and do crazy things or creative things. Yeah, so that's benefit number one. It's just plain faster. I mean, think about it. If you record a full-length record and you do 12 songs, so you set up the first, and you do each in a different project. So you set up the first song, you route everything, you like label the tracks and everything, and then you record the song, and then you go to the next song, and you do that again, and the next song, and you do that again. Like, where's the benefit of doing that 12 times? Like, you could have one template, use it over and over again, and skip that step. That's not lazy. That's not uncreative. It's just faster and, like, gets you to the important stuff quicker, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, bands don't love waiting around for you to make tracks. And there's nothing creative about routing tracks at all. You know, as much as some people might think that is, it's really just time wasting. Yeah. So do it once. Copy it into, you know, make it, you can... In most DAWs, you can, I would say all DAWs, you can save a template, you know, so you make it once for one song and maybe make some extra tracks just in case some stuff pops up, have it ready to go and save that template. And then you can just open that up each time you need to start a new song. I've got all sorts of templates. I've got tracking templates for different studios because I primarily work out of three different studios, but I even have one that's kind of vague and like easy for me to set up into new studios. So I guess I have four tracking templates. And that's just for working with bands. I also have like probably three or four tracking templates for stuff my own, like my own stuff, you know, just like one that has like a virtual drummer and some other virtual instruments ready to go. So I can just like demo a riff real quick. You know, I've got like for some instrumental music, I make a different template for that with all the dreamy delays and reverbs already set up and good to go. And that's, you know, that's just tracking. I've also got my primary mixing template, which is the same thing. It's just all routed. All the effects are all stemmed out. So, you know, I can just like print and I've got like stem groups for everything kind of pre-ready to go and get organized. And you know, like my go-to EQs are on every track, you know. So just, it literally saves you hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, mastering, if you listen to this, you know, I do a lot of mastering And what people don't realize about mastering is that like almost 50% of mastering is not listening to audio. It's like writing in the proper spelling for the song names and communicating with the client to actually get the spelling of the song names and then explaining to them that they spelt a word wrong and then finding out what the track order is and stuff like that and the spacing between them. So there's all of these non-creative tasks. So for me to optimize those to be as smooth and quick and painless as possible means that I have way more time to spend on the actual mastering part when I'm listening to the song and really doing that. So by being logical and with checklists and templates and stuff, I have way more time to be creative, which is what we all want.
For sure. Absolutely. And like, yeah, we kind of mixing it up here. So the one thing is checklist, one thing is templates. Yes. But it's the same purpose. Both of those things prevent you from making mistakes, and both of those things make it quicker. So it's the same benefits. It's just a different application, a different thing. Yeah, the templates, totally agreed. I have those for tracking as well. I have those for mixing, for mastering. I have one for this podcast. I have one for my other podcast. Yeah.
That's great. We should mention this. We literally, before every episode, go through a checklist.
Yeah.
And it's the only reason we haven't missed a week, probably, you know, because we haven't screwed up and realized we didn't record the episode at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So we have a checklist, and we both have templates on our computer, so we can just open it up and get to it. Yeah, how stupid would that be if every single time we had to open it up again? God, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and then the third benefit of this whole thing is that it actually, we've already said it, but it's worth pointing out again, it prevents you from making mistakes or prevents you from missing out on opportunities, because I've had that a couple of times actually where I thought, oh, I should really try this because I think this could be great. And then I'm working, doing other things, and like by the time I'm done, I totally forgot that I wanted to try this thing. And if it was on the checklist, all the things you could do or the things you have that you could try for a certain scenario, if those are on a checklist, on a spreadsheet, you can make sure to actually do those and try those and not forget about them. And it prevents you from making mistakes and also from missing out on those opportunities, because sometimes you're just in the zone and you just going through whatever you're doing right now and you totally forget to do that cool thing that you actually wanted to do in the beginning.
So. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, this is all about doing work now that saves you time later, right? And the more time you put in now setting it up, the more time you'll save, because you'll be saving it over a longer period of time, because it'll, every time you use that template or that checklist, it's compounding and saving more time and more time and more time. So, you know, spending half an hour now might result in literally like 100 hours saved down the road, which is amazing, right? That's a huge amount of your life you're getting back. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be templates and checklists. Like one thing I've always got ready to go, I've got a little shortcut in my Finder window, which I guess is a template of a way, is just like access to all of my drum samples and like sound effects and stuff like that. So if we're like stuck on a part of a song in production, I can just be like, well, it just needs like to be more exciting. Grab a riser right out of the sample library, drag it right in. It's just one step. It's there quick. We don't have to go download Splice and go looking for samples or something. I've got them all organized, you know? So actually, I guess that's the template, is I spent time organizing all my samples so I can just quickly audition things, get them in there, get people excited, move on.
Totally. And like the templates can be that thing, like a shortcut or organizing folders on a computer. It can also be just pictures and a documentation of documenting what you have done in a previous session. Like if you've dialed in a cool guitar sound on an amp and found a great mic position for it, and you put the amp or the cab in a great spot in the room or whatever, if you document that and write it down, later in another session, if you want to create a similar vibe or like a similar tone, you don't have to try and like go back and forth until you have something similar. You can just pull out that note and just recreate it, and you have it there. So it's just like a template. You have to recall it, like, but you don't have to think about it. You just look at the notes, and then you do it again. So constantly documenting your progress and making notes of everything you really like, every cool thing that you come up with, can help a lot, and is kind of a template that you're creating there. So that can be like, what are examples? Like I mentioned the guitar mic position and amp. What are examples of that you have?
I mean, So I use a Kemper a lot of the time, and I've just got it literally sitting beside my desk. I can reach out and touch it right now, pet it. I love it. but, you know, I've got like a handful, pretty much any kind of guitarist could walk in here, and I'd have a good idea of what tone I'd grab first for them based on their band. You know, I'd be like, okay, this is a good starting point. We can get started with this and tweak from there. At least to get them playing, you know? So like that's quick. It's already routed and plugged in. I've got another line ran just for this mic that I'm using for the podcast. It's just always sitting there with my cloud lifter. Grab my SM7, pull it in here, plug it in, and I'm good to go. Channel one is always my podcast mic.
Cool.
You know, so there's like setup stuff like that. You know, I know some people that do session drumming and they just always have a drum kit patched in. Those channels never change. You know, it's just good to go. Face is already checked because yeah. They're not changing their setup. You know, anything you can automate and set up in advance, I think you should. Benny and I are actually honestly freaks about this. Like we're both just obsessive. Like we have like template emails to get us started. Yes. You know, and we have this great app called Text Expander, which you can make little abbreviations and it'll pop out like links or whatever. You set it up to, you know, little shortcuts. You know, we make our own shortcuts for our DAWs. We just do this to an insane degree, but it all adds up. It all compounds. So yeah. I'd actually encourage anybody to get into that stuff, but start with the big stuff, you know, the big things that are slowing you down the most that you have to do a lot.
Yeah.
So that's normally making a tracking template, I think, for most bands that are recording themselves.
Yeah, totally. Again, that's also one thing that I have to say it because you mentioned it, like things like these email templates, for example, it's also a thing where it sounds like totally like unpersonal and like who wants to use an email template? Nobody wants to get a template email from somebody, right? But in fact, it allows me to communicate more and better with people and with clients and more personal, because if you have to answer, I don't know, even if it's just like 10, 20 emails or something a day, or and sometimes it's much more than that here, honestly, then that would take up such a big part of my day if I would type out everything manually. And some things are just repetitive. For example, when I send out final files to clients or something, or when I am at a certain step of the process where it's just the same thing over and over again for every project, I'll start with the template email. Of course, I'll like personalize it and I put in all the info that's like relevant for this project. And I always go through this email manually. But some stuff in there is just there every single time, and it would be stupid to type it out every single time. So because then I could just communicate with way less people, I would have worse customer service. I would like everything would be worse. So that just helps. Like it's again, same as with the creative templates, it makes you more creative, more personal. And makes everything more enjoyable. Then it's not the opposite. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I even with all this stuff, I still have trouble staying on top of my emails and getting back to people within a day. You know, sometimes Same. It's like 2 or 3 days and I feel terrible, but it's just like even using templates and shortcuts and stuff, like I just can't get to them all while still getting the stuff done that I need to get done. So imagine if I didn't have all that helping me out, saving time. I would just, you know, the bands that are reaching out to me would be waiting weeks to hear from me, and that'd be terrible.
exactly.
You know, and I have no time to do the creative stuff again. You know, it'd be taking me away from that. And on the flip hand, I know this guy who is so creative, and he's going through the opposite thing where he writes so much, but he can't like get to all his ideas because he's just kind of like, I don't even know what the word is, prehistoric when it comes to computers. So, you know, like for him to put in the work early and get some templates set up so that it is a little bit more of a repeatable, predictable experience for him every time he wants to demo a song, it would be hugely beneficial for him.
Yeah, totally. That's another type of cool template, by the way, demoing songs or writing templates, like have your drum sounds and like virtual drum kits, have 2 or 3 or whatever you have, how many you have set up in a session, so you can just audition them really quickly and choose the one that fits the song, have them on a track already, have your amp sims there already, have like everything there that you need to quickly document an idea and to quickly like get demos recorded and stuff like that. Because especially in writing, if an idea comes to mind and you just want to do it right now and capture it, you don't want to set everything up, like, because then the idea might be gone, or I don't know. It's just you want to open up the session, the computer, plug a guitar in, and immediately go. Or you want to be able to program the drums right away. You like have that stuff set up, have a separate template for writing, and make it so, ideally, if you're in a band, make it so that every single person in the band can like collaborate there. Like choose a drum sample library that everyone has, or at least the people mm-hmm. who need it, who are working on the songs together. Come up with some sort of collaboration system as well. Use the same software. Come up with like checklists and templates there so you can better collaborate. And just do everything you can to reduce the amount of clicks and messages and phone calls you need to make in order to just like document whatever idea you just have and make sure the others can hear it. Like get every single step that's not part of the writing out of the way. And it's like a much smoother, much better process.
Yeah, this funny enough, Benny, I didn't mention this earlier to you before the show, but this topic is like actually a topic for my other podcast, my band business podcast,
because
it applies to that as well, yeah, right? You totally. Know, like but one point that I was going to talk about in that podcast that I think applies to this is you have to have some kind of online sharing platform that everybody's tapped into that is semi-automatic. You know, you just upload the file there and everybody gets it, so you don't have to send a link out every single time for people to download or whatever. That'll also save you a lot of time.
Totally.
You don't want to be, especially if you're the person recording it and uploading it, you don't also want to be like walking everybody through how to get to it and check out what you've done.
Yeah.
So I would definitely set that up.
Totally. I mean, I think we should do another episode on like automation and stuff like that for bands, because that's a whole topic for itself. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that you as a band can actually do. I mean, we are, as you already said, we are pretty nerdy about this because we run like businesses and everything, and we have to be super efficient. And but still, there's a lot to take away for like musicians and just people in bands as well, because that's actually like, you might not think of it as one, but it's actually a business or an organization at least. So mm-hmm. There's always stuff that can be optimized so that you can be more productive, creative, and everything. So I think we should talk about that again and come up with ways to make your day-to-day creative life easier.
Yes.
So yeah. But for now, like the checklists and the templates are a great starting point. And I think, it saves you time. It's like more creative, more productive, and it prevents you from making mistakes. Now, you've mentioned your Kemper patches. We've had the drum sounds. You put something in the notes here, like FX for your vocalist. I'm curious what you mean by that. What do you set up there?
So I'm not the vocalist in the bands I'm a part of usually. And you know, I'm recording other bands often enough too, so it kind of applies to all that. But generally, you find out what works for your vocalist and what they like as far as reverbs and delays go on the first song. So that is just something to bring over to the next song, which is kind of what we've already talked about. But to go a step further, I just have like four options sitting in my template anyways. You know, they might get changed out and none of them might work, but chances are one of them will be really close. So vocalist gets patched into the channel, and then I just quickly audition a couple different reverbs and a couple delays that are already set in there. So didn't have to make new tracks, didn't have to even think about what reverbs, you know, half the time I don't even look at what they're called. I just like, listen, nope, listen. Oh, cool. You know, oh, it turns out it's a plate reverb, whatever. So have that kind of stuff set up. I've also got the same kind of thing going on for like my lead guitar channels. So somebody's ready to rip a solo and I just throw on ginormous delays and reverbs so they feel like a rock star while they track it. Probably won't even get used later, but it's there to make it exciting and sound kind of pre-mixed.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a super great application for this. Absolutely. So yeah, that's the template part. I want to go back to the checklists real quick and give you kind of an example of what that could look like. And because things on these checklists are sometimes super obvious, and that's why people don't use them. Myself included, I haven't used them for years because I thought, well, I don't need to write that down. I would never forget these simple things, but I do. And so I need checklists. And the most basic, and I guess the most important type of checklist would be the kind of pre-flight checklist, like in your audio music world, right? Like the pre-flight checklist of like when it comes to planes, same thing you can do before you record. Or before you do anything, it's like the checklist you go through before you start a new step of any process. So if you start recording, or if you start a writing session, if you start a mixing session, or whatever you do, have this checklist before you go so that you don't make mistakes, everything's set up, and you don't have to think about it. And a good example of what could happen if you don't do that is I'm working with a band, and they are recording their record right now. And I'm kind of coaching them through the way, through the process. And they sent me files that I should check out, vocal recordings, and they had weird like clicks and pops in them. And we couldn't, like, they didn't know where they came from, and it was kind of weird. And then I got on the phone with them, and I said, like, do you have multiple digital devices? Is there, and if so, is the, like, the clock, like, this is it the same clock? Do they run off the same clock? Is there a master and a slave? Because that could cause that issue. And it turned out they had set it up correctly. They had a digital preamp and an interface, like, combined, and they had set the clock correctly. But for some reason, the setting changed before the next session, and they recorded, didn't check it, and like both of those devices ran off their internal clocks, and that caused the dropouts and the clicks and pops. So that's pretty technical. Like, if you don't know what that all means, doesn't matter. The main takeaway here is if they had used a checklist that had a bullet point on it or like a checkbox on it where it says check clock on like the preamp and the interface, they would have checked it, and the pops wouldn't have been in the audio.
Yes, yeah, that's definitely a good example, and so frustrating when it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is, you might record the best take ever, and like it's so cool, but then you have those artifacts or clicks and pops in it, and you have to come up with crazy ways to find a solution for that, and that's just frustrating. And all you would have to do to prevent that is have a checklist and go through it, and that would have never happened. So. An example of such a checklist could be, what would be on your checklist, like, Malcolm, if you start a recording session as a band, what would be the most basic things that would be on there?
Now I'm feeling like an idiot because I don't think I have a pre-session checklist. I got my pre-session template, which kind of does a lot of it, because it's all, I mean, it's mostly there, like the channels that I would have for that studio are going to pretty well be thought of. But that said, I do have some stuff that I go through actually before the session, like days before, if not a week before or whatever. I will email the band to make sure they have certain stuff, you know, like we're going to need this gear, .. whatever it is. Make sure you have these strings or new strings, throw them on the day of, you know, don't play them for 3 days before the session. Stuff like that. Like I have a studio preparation guide that I think got shared on the self-recording band page ages ago.
I'll
give it to you. And that right there actually does a lot for me. I send them that, and it also it talks them through how recording might work, what gear we might use and what to expect as far as gear goes. So, you know, let them know that they might not be using their own gear. The importance of drum skins and strings and stuff like that is kind of this podcast condensed to a little PDF. The core messages are in there for sure. And that is kind of a loose checklist for them. It is not actually a physical checklist for like boxes for them to check, but it brings all these things to their attention before they even go to the studio, before they even pack, which is definitely helpful. That doesn't really answer your question.
But. Yeah, but it's like it's a similar thing. I just thought of things like basic things like, have I set my interface or DAW to the correct sample rate? Because some might do that automatically, others don't. So, for example, I have to do that. Like if I switch sample rate in my DAW, my converter doesn't switch. I have to do that manually. So just have a bullet point, a checkbox there where it says sample rate, check sample rate. Check bit rate. Check, I don't know, whatever you, like every situation is unique, but whatever you need in order to record, have that there and go through it, even if it sounds obvious. Make sure like all the headphones are patched to the correct outputs and channels. Mm-hmm. And like even if you don't have clients, but just record your own band, if you're the one in charge of recording, like the engineer in the band, you want to make sure that everything works before the other people in your band arrive, just so it's a better and more enjoyable process. So you want to make sure all the headphone lines work, there's no broken cables and stuff, like nothing that's just frustrating when you actually want to start.
That's a great point. Like thinking of today, even.
Yeah.
When we record this podcast, I plop my laptop up on the top of my desk and open it up so I have a webcam so me and Benny can see each other. But I always forget to do that. Like every single time, I leave it down under my desk plugged in because I've normally got like a flat screen on the wall that I use as a monitor. But then I don't have a webcam, so I have to turn everything off. You know, that's killing me. I'm going to have a checklist for that instead. I love the idea of checking the headphone mix is working before anybody gets there as well. I mean, I do that, but just having a checklist that makes sure I do that, because that can unearth all sorts of problems. You might discover that your sample rate's wrong. You might discover that your playback back engine is set wrong.
Or
the headphone cable's wrong, whatever it is.
Basic things like, do we have water and snacks for the session? Is there still coffee? Because especially when multiple people are in the same room, somebody might have made the last cup of coffee and didn't tell you that it's gone. So you didn't get a new one for the next session. And now, like, all that sort of stuff. Do we have water? Do we have coffee? Do we have drum skins, strings, what you just said? Is there a replacement for everything in case something breaks? All that sort of stuff. You want to go through that before every single session and imagine how awesome every session goes if you do that. And like, these checklists will definitely evolve over time. You will always find things that keep going wrong or mistakes that you keep making. And you just add that to the checklist and it keeps growing and growing. And the more the checklist grows, the easier your life will be and the more enjoyable and awesome the sessions will be. So,
yeah. I mean, checklists usually are really easy to update on the fly because normally they're just on your phone or whatever, right? Or on the computer you're working on. So you can just literally open it up and add a new bullet point. Templates can be a little trickier because sometimes you can't really update the template because you've already done too many changes that you don't want done to the source template. So what I've done is I've got a note in my Apple Notes thing that is called changes for template. And then I just write down what template it is and what I want to change to it. And then every once in a while, I'll just open that up, make all these changes to them, resave them. And then they're now corrected because you'll find that there's, issues you put in there or stuff you didn't think that you might want added. It just kind of always evolves, but that's kind of the beauty of it. It just keeps getting better and better.
Same here. I have a Trello card for that. And whenever I come across something where I think, I should add that to my template, I just open the Trello, put it in there, and it's just a growing list. And whenever I find time, I'll go through all the things, update my templates, and then,
right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's if you don't have Trello, get Trello.
Yeah. That's don't get us started on all these productivity things because we're crazy about this stuff, but for a reason. So that's basically it, I think. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to make the same mistake as they did with the checklist manifesto and go through the same thing over and over again. We've said everything basically. I think you got the point now. Try implementing checklists and templates now. And also, don't view creating those as a waste of time, because that's also something a mistake that I've made a couple of times. Also with the Academy, with my course that I was building, I always thought planning, making those checklists and templates and stuff is just a waste of time. I just wanted to get to finally recording the lessons, recording the videos, writing the PDFs and whatnot. And I found that every time I skipped the prepping phase, the making templates and checklists phase, I was so slow creating the actual content. And once I got over that and finally decided to make checklists and templates for everything, after that, the whole video shooting, editing, everything just went so much quicker, so much faster, that I should have done that from the beginning. Absolutely. So don't view it as a waste of time, but just see it as something where you invest a little bit of time now and it will save you multiple of that later.
Yeah. Okay, one more I want to add.
Okay, yeah.
Totally, one more example. Because we've been talking pretty permanent checklists, this is something you're going to use multiple times, but I still believe in them even when it is just for a single use instance.
Yeah.
And the prime example of that is you get there with the band and you listen to the song for the first time that day and you're we're really close, we got to finish this up. What do we need to do? And you listen through and you just write down a checklist. I usually just use a pen and paper for that checklist. For the disposable ones. And you just write down everything that's left, any idea you have, and then you just work through it. You just check them off kind of thing. Don't try and keep those things in memory because you'll forget about one of them. And it's also just slower because you have to have the conversation. Okay, what's next? Just write it down on the fly, hit them all out, record them. done.
Totally. Yeah. Awesome. Super great. Like, in a perfect world, I would just be, I don't know, like, all the things that I don't want to do would just be automatic, and, like, I would only have to deal with the creative stuff, and, like, that sort of, that would be awesome. So, yeah. And I think, compared to how I've done things a couple of years ago, I've come a pretty long way. So, like, when I started out, I spent a lot more time with stuff that didn't matter. Compared to now, I'm much more productive and creative already. And, yeah, I keep improving that, and you should absolutely too.
Definitely.
All right. So that's it for this episode. It's been a great one. Thank you for listening. And, yeah, sign up for the Academy waiting list. Check out Malcolm's preparation guide that I will post in the show notes. And, yeah, see you next week.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friend, thanks again for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this one, just know that this is just a tiny fraction, a small taste of what we can actually do to help you completely transform your recordings and mixes forever. If you are really serious about your music, if you want to reach your goals as a self-recording artist, then please apply now for the Self-Recording Syndicate, our coaching program that takes you from where you are to being able to completely, independently produce and release exciting sounding music forever. If you join that program, you're going to be part of a very, very passionate, dedicated, committed group of self-recording artists from all around the world, and you're going to get a roadmap, guidance, feedback, personal access to me and the team. We're going to do everything, literally everything we can to help you make the best recordings you can possibly make. And it all starts with a free first call, completely free, no strings attached. Best case scenario, we're going to end up working together and we're going to completely transform the way your music sounds. Worst case scenario, you're going to get an hour of free coaching and an action plan that you can then take and implement on your own. So if that sounds interesting to you, get started now with your first completely free call by going to theselfrecordingband.com/call or just click the link in the show notes. See you next week.